Well, over these next 3 weeks, we're going to be focusing from some chapters in 2 Corinthians about on God's work in our lives and across history, now and into the future. We've, through this year, whether you've realised it or not, we've been doing this broad sweep of God's story that's weaved right through the Bible. And we began in February, where we looked at the backdrop of the Old Testament. And then we came to the centerpiece, Jesus the game changer. And we focused on the real difference that Jesus makes in history and in people's lives. And then we looked at Acts, the book of Acts, and how we all have a part to play in writing the script of God's story through our own personal mission. And then through those that we partner with in mission, as we've been looking at over these last 5 weeks. But now, as we come to the, wrap up this story of God, a broad sweep of the story of God across the Bible, we're going to use a few chapters from 2 Corinthians to look at what that means in the here and now and what it means into the future when it comes to God's work. And today we focus on what it means to be transformed. And this, in many ways, is a bridge or a lead-in to a series that I've been preparing for some time that we're going to be doing as a church in Term 3 that is called Stepping Stones Towards Spiritual Growth. We'll start that on the first Sunday back after school holidays, which is Sunday, 15th of July. And where did the thinking for this come from? Well, it came from you as a church, as a congregation, actually. Because the number one thing that that you as a congregation identified that you wanted attention given to in the National Church and Life Survey that we did here, along with many other churches across Australia, but when we get the unique feedback from each congregation, the number one thing here that attention wanted to be given to was direction in spiritual growth. And so that's exactly what we're going to be doing in Term 3, in that series, Stepping Stones Towards Spiritual Growth. As I've been praying about that and reflecting on that, what we're going to do in Term 3 will be the outworking of that. It'll come from my own personal journey, as well as what I've observed as a pastor over 20 years in the lives of others. What are the key stepping stones towards spiritual growth? What are the things that really are catalysts for us to grow spiritually? And we're going to be, it's going to be creative, it's going to be practical, not just on a Sunday, but in small groups, across small groups. And so watch this space, because literally the next couple of Sundays, there's going to be some clips, some previews as a lead into that. And you'll see me in a number of different settings, just sharing some cameos with you. So the next two Sundays, that'll begin with a film preview. And if you're not in a small group, there's no better time to join one than at the start of this series. We really encourage everybody to be in a small group. And so speak to Gary. Gary is there. Is Christine here this morning? She's not. But to speak to Gary or Christine Meyer or myself, if you're not in a small group and you'd like to be placed in one, we'd love to link you in with one for the start of that series in Term 3. So what we're looking at this morning is a bridge into that, because to grow spiritually is to be transformed. How does that happen? Well, that happens not by what we do so much, but by what God does by His Spirit. But we have to create an environment for God to be at work in our lives. Like stepping across stepping stones, we have to step onto the stones and move towards the place that God has for us to be at. It doesn't happen straight away. It doesn't happen quickly. It's a process over time. But the goal of our lives as followers of Jesus, as the story of God is worked out, is not to receive more information, but it's to be transformed. As John Ortberg puts it, the primary goal of spiritual life is people transformation. It is much more than making sure people know where they're going after they die or seeing that they have lots of information about the Bible. It is about people being transformed. I'm still a work in progress when it comes to God's transforming work of me. And so are you. We all are. No matter what your age is, no matter what your stage of life is, you are still a part of God's work of transformation. You are still a work in progress. God does not simply want us to stay where we're at any point in our lives. But as Paul puts it in the reading that Rob read to us, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, which is the focus verse this morning, and we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Paul speaks about being transformed, and that's the essence of what we're looking at. And that's a gradual process, it's a gracious process as God's Spirit redeems and restores us to be more and more the people he's called us to be. Now, God's dealings with us and God's transforming of us is nothing like the owner of a parrot who tried to transform the parrot. This parrot he'd got from someone else, and it had this terrible habit of swearing all the time that it's picked up from its previous owner. And after another burst of swearing, the new owner locked this parrot in a cupboard. Thought, that'll just silence it for a while. It scratched and it screeched while it was in there. And after being let out, it came out with another outburst. No different. So what does the owner do this time? He puts the parrot in the freezer. All is silent. And after a few moments, the owner opens the freezer door. He's amazed by the difference this time as the parrot calmly climbs onto his shoulder and says, "Sorry about what I've been like. I want to be transformed now sooner rather than later. By the way, what did the chicken do?" God's purpose is to transform us, but the process that God follows is full of grace and it's full of love. Even when we resist, even when we repeat our mistakes over and over and over, as we can all do. And what Paul shows us here in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is that being transformed by the work of God's Spirit in a way that gives us hope is a multidimensional thing. Firstly, it involves Christ being revealed to us. The verses that lead up to this that Rob read to us speak of how God revealed his glory to Moses when Moses went up onto the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments were a part of the law that God's people had through the Old Testament. And as Moses went up onto the mountain to receive the law from God, this led to a difference in Moses. His face was radiant, it describes to us, because God had revealed himself to Moses. But that transformation, as you read those verses, as Rob read them to us, that transformation didn't last. It faded. And it was on the outside. It was on the outside more than it was on the inside. And that symbolized the inadequacy of laws and rules and regulations to fully change or transform us. But when Jesus came, God's glory was revealed in an even greater way, as these verses that Rob read to us describe. When Jesus came, that would make possible lasting transformation in our lives, not just on the outside, but on the inside in our hearts as well. And John certainly speaks of this when we read at the start of the book of John, in John chapter 1, it describes this in verse 14. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, who was full of grace and truth. And certainly through this, through the second part of the New Testament and the Bible and the book of Hebrews speaks of this, it's speaking to us of the new covenant and the difference between the new and the old. And Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. And this is the key bit in, linked in with what we're looking at today. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he'd provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. In other words, what the law and what rules and regulations could only do in part, Jesus Christ, being revealed to us, made possible in full and like never before. Jesus' coming was the start of a whole new way of love and grace and relationship. Instead of just rules to keep and I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed. But when Jesus is first revealed to us, and if we receive him out of that, and John describes this in that first chapter of John as well, let me take you back to that and read the verses 12 and 13, where John says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So John describes how Christ is revealed to us, but we need to receive him. And that's the process of becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus, becoming a part of God's family. But that really is just the start of God's transforming work in our lives. It is not the end. All too often, people think, well, I've become a Christian. I've got a ticket to heaven. I'm fine. But that is to misunderstand God's work and to completely misrepresent God's purposes for our lives. Because becoming a follower of Jesus is not just about Jesus being revealed to us receiving him by faith and then saying, oh, well, I've got a place in heaven now. No, God's purposes are not simply to get us into heaven, but to get heaven into us. Say that again. God's purposes are not simply to get us into heaven, but to get heaven into us. In other words, to begin a process or a work of transformation in our lives. And that work will not be complete until we get to heaven. That work will be complete when we get to heaven. But in the meantime, in our lives on this earth, between now and then, that work is in process. And that's exactly what Paul is speaking about here in 2 Corinthians, being transformed into God's likeness with ever-increasing glory. Doesn't happen overnight. Doesn't happen on our own, on our terms, but it happens over our lives as a whole, and it happens as Christ continues to reveal more and more of himself to us. Being transformed begins with Christ being revealed to us, but it should lead, and it also involves, to Christ being reflected by us. Paul uses the language of reflection here in 2 Corinthians and in these verses that Rob read to us. In verse 18, the first part of verse 18, he says, as I read it to you again, just to prompt you in it, Paul puts it this way. He says, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. This is the language of reflection. He speaks of the word used in the NIV is contemplate. Some translations use the actual word reflect. We all look in mirrors. Some of us might look in them more than others, but we all look in mirrors most days. I looked in the mirror this morning when I went to shave, and I'd say most of you looked in the mirror at some point already today. But when you look in a mirror, what do you see? Well, we see a reflection of ourselves. Some of us might not like what we see, but the reflection that Paul speaks about here is not a reflection of us, but it's a reflection of Jesus and his glory. God's work of transformation in my life and your life is so that people see more of Jesus and less of us when they look at our lives. Just like a chef has a signature dish, or an artist has a signature style that is evident in their paintings. As people, we are God's signature work. We are God's work of art that is being transformed to more and more reflect the imprint and the image of God in all that we are and all that we do. Being transformed involves Christ being revealed to us. It involves Christ being reflected by us. But there's a third aspect that Paul touches on here, and it involves Christ being resembled in us. Paul says that we are being transformed into what? Into Christ's likeness. Christ's likeness, or Christ's image, with ever increasing glory. Now, we've had this funny situation arise a few times where Michelle has tagged me in Facebook, because of my resemblance to my son, because of my resemblance to Joash, there's been a couple of occasions where Facebook seems to actually pick that up, and he's been tagged, and it's actually an image of me, or the other way round. But the word likeness here means exact representation of or resemblance to. And Paul is speaking of how we in our lives, as we're being transformed by the work of God's Spirit, are going to be resembling more and more Christ. And this is God's purpose in our lives. Paul speaks directly to that in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, when he says, and he speaks in the context of Romans 8 about the struggles and the challenges, but he speaks about how we've been called, and he says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." So our very purpose in life, and God has called us to be conformed to the likeness or the image of Christ, to resemble that likeness more and more. God's created us in his image. But the process of being transformed that Paul is speaking about is a process to restore more fully the image of God that might have been distorted or dulled in us, that might have been broken or brushed over along the way of life. The reality is, none of us resemble or look like Jesus as fully as we could right now. I don't, and neither do any of us. Neither did God's people, to whom Paul initially wrote much of the second half of the New Testament. Because when you take a closer look and when you read the words and the things that are being said, it's clear, certainly in Corinthians, it's clear that the Corinthian church was far from resembling Jesus in some areas of their lives. And Galatians is the same, and much of the other parts of the New Testament. But Paul is writing these words. He wrote these words to them, and they're words for us still today, to recognize that God wants to be at work in our lives in the process of transforming us in an ongoing way. And Galatians puts it like this in Galatians chapter 4. This is what Paul says, and he uses this this imagery or this terminology. He says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Until Christ is formed in you. Paul's saying, until Christ is formed in you, like a life is formed in a mother's womb. For an elephant, that process takes 22 months. 9 months only for a human. But it takes a lifetime for Christ to be fully formed in us as people. That is God's work of you and I being transformed. That is God's ongoing story being worked out in you and me. And we can get discouraged in that sometimes, and we can think that progress is slow, and we recognize our own repeat cycles of mistakes we make, or not being transformed as fully or as quickly as we would like. But it's God's work, it's not ours. And we need to allow him to continue that work and to recognize that we're not at the end of that work. He's not finished with us yet. God is always at work, whether we realize it or not. He's at work around us and he's at work in us. How has God been at work, I wonder, in ways that you might have realized or recognized in recent weeks and recent months, not just in your life, but in the lives of others around you, in situations that have arisen, in situations that have been challenges, and yet you've recognized God's at work here, and it's given you hope. It's given you a sense that God is able to work in a way that transforms. That's what we're going to have opportunity to share about in a moment. How has God been at work in a way that might encourage not only you, but others? In a way that might be a part of God's work of transformation, not just in our lives, but in our world, in our country, in our community, in the lives of families, friends, neighbours, certainly our own lives. But first let me pray as you reflect on this further, and then we'll just have that opportunity for sharing. God, thank you that you are a God who is active. You are a God who speaks by your word, but you're a God who transforms by your spirit. And God, thank you for that work that you began long, long ago in history. Thank you for that work that goes on still today. Thank you for that work that you began in each of us long ago too. And that work that still goes on today. And God, we simply want to be open to your work in an ongoing way, and we simply want to recognize that you want to be transforming us to reflect more and more Jesus and to resemble more and more the image of God in us. God, we thank you that you reveal yourself to us, and out of that we become more aware of you. We become more attentive of you. And we become more tuned in to not only who you are, but what it is that you call us to and towards. So God, as we reflect on this, we pray that you just continue to be present and active, giving hope and encouragement in the midst of our lives, in the midst of the situations that we face. And as we look towards the future, thank you, God, that you know all about our present, but thank you that you have a wonderful future that you're continuing to work out in each of our lives and in history. And that's something that we anchor in and that we remind ourselves of. So thank you for the work of your Spirit, and we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen. Amen. So we... before we come to our time of prayer this morning, we just thought that we would have this opportunity for sharing about God's work, for sharing about God's work, how you might have seen God at work or seen ways in which God has been at work, and that's not just it's something we do from time to time here where we have a sharing opportunity. How has God been at work? And we just thought it fitted in this morning. So.